I too want to greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ. Like has been mentioned before, it is good to be here. It's been a blessing. What we have heard and discussed already, I thank God for that. I would like to open with Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. So it's giving instruction for us. But then in verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So I guess that's my desire, that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened through the Word of God, that we may know what is the hope of His calling. The understanding in a better and deeper way, hopefully, what that hope is that is much spoken of in the Bible. So That is my desire as far as what comes from this. So I'll be speaking on hope. What do we mean when what are we saying when we use the word hope? It is used to express a specific desire, and not spiritual necessarily. We might say that we hope it rains, or we hope the rain quits, or we hope to see the sun today, or we hope this fog lifts, or many, many, many other scenarios that we could think of and mention. Just a hope that is common to us all, the expression of a specific desire. And that is good, as long as the desire is good. We don't hope for evil. We don't want to go there. And so to have a good hope can be a motivator to persevere, like weeding the garden, weeding the strawberry patch. To me, that looks overwhelming many times, and if there's the hope of getting it accomplished helps us to persevere. So hope can be a good thing in that sense. Hope contributes to a more balanced and resilient state in times of stress and anxiety. So hope helps us through a stressful situation. or a time of anxiety. We have a hope that things change, and or you know, even well, thinking of hope as just in a secular sense, we have a hope that situations change and the stress goes away and we can be more relaxed again and continue on. We'll get into the spiritual side of hope, because that is the important thing. That is the hope that we're really interested in. But just to understand or to remind us again to look into hope in a possibly a little deeper way. But the spiritual hope or the hope we have in believing in God is more the confident expectation and trust in God's promise and his future blessings. So we are promised that we have this time on earth, but Jesus is coming to take those that believe in him, those who have been redeemed, take them with him to heaven. We have hope in that. It's a confident expectation and a trust that what God said that he will do. So we hope in the his promises and the future blessings, the future glory that we anticipate in heaven. Or we might think of hope as a steadfastness grounded in faith and the understanding of God's character, leading to a sense of assurance and strength. There's a verse in Hebrews that we'll get to speaking of coming to him in the full assurance of faith hope gives us that assurance. So just a few several scriptures speaking of hope. The hope that we have in Christ, we might start in 1 Peter 1. Verses 3-9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So, I don't quite understand why that the translators used the word lively hope there in verse 3. My translation of the German would be a living hope, which I don't know. Splitting hair there possibly, but regardless, it's referring to that hope as living, as being alive, as giving life to our to our belief. It is speaking to those who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. That is where we want to be. We want to be kept in believing, in faith, in truth, by the power of God. And trust him in that, which results in hope. And we can have that hope. And like I mentioned a minute ago, that hope gives us assurance. So if we drop down to verses 18 through 22, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope may be in God. So, we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and that it is through him, back to verse 19, it was with the precious blood of Christ that we've been redeemed and been purified. You know, it's not by the things that we have done, but by the grace shown to us through Christ, that we've been redeemed and that we have the hope of eternal life. In Romans, there's it speaks of hope quite a bit. Chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So in verse 2, speaks of rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God, rejoicing in that expectation of of experiencing the glory of God. And my first thought is experiencing that glory in heaven, but we also experience the glory of God here on earth. His care of us, his provision for us, his inspiring us, as we study the word, he inspires us and reveals to us the depth of his word, and he leads us day by day. Can we see that as the glory of God? And you know, it encourages a hopefulness within us. And then you know, our experience, the tribulation brings us patience, and patience experience, and that experience gives us hope. And we need not be ashamed of that hope. You know, it is that which brings us life also gives us hope. So we rejoice in the new life. So let's not be ashamed of it. Because God's love is shed abroad in our hearts. If we turn to Romans 8, verses 22 to 26, it speaks of the present suffering and future glory. Verse 22 of chapter 8. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body, the transition from earth to heaven. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So, I'm not sure that I can express the depth of that, but the hope that we have in Christ helps us to continue in faith. And it is that continuing, that constant growing and drawing closer to God, that the persevering unto a blessed end. And of course it is the blood of Christ that saves us, but like it says here, we are saved by hope. That hope carries us through. We don't see that which we are hoping for. We don't see heaven. We don't see God. Yet we hope for that. We hope to experience that. It keeps drawing us to him. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Earlier I said, we say things like, we hope it rains, or we hope the sun shines, or we hope the fog lifts. Well, once that happens, we're not hoping anymore. Hope that is seen is not hope. It's a realization. But as long as we don't see it, then we keep hoping. We wait in patience in that hope. And that is where we are today. We don't see heaven. We're not there yet, but we continue to hope. We continue in the hope that we will see heaven, and we patiently wait for that time. Okay, then in chapter 12, verses 9 to 13. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. So just simply the rejoicing in hope there. The hope that we have being redeemed, being in the will of God, being expectant of his return, and assured of being with him in heaven, we rejoice in that. Then if we are truly rejoicing in that hope, then we can be patient in the tribulations that we experience alongside that hope. Continuing instant in prayer. I think that too is a very important part of our Christian life, that times of trial or times when we fail or we just feel overwhelmed or whatever it might be, if we can exercise ourselves in being instant in prayer, in instantly turning to God with our cares, casting them on him, it relieves us of that anxiety, and encourages or strengthens that hope. There's many more I think I will just short phrases, promises and blessings connected to hope. Like in Acts 2:26, it says, "My flesh shall rest in hope." So that is an interesting statement. If we are, if hope in Christ is real to us, our body, our flesh, is also at rest. We're not all stressed out. We can relax and meet the challenges of life. Another one, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Hope maketh not ashamed. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Called in one hope of your calling. These are all just short phrases taken from throughout the New Testament. Hope which is laid up for you in heaven. That is the ultimate goal of that hope which we carry with us. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Okay, here's an admonition to, you know, not be moved away from it, not to lose sight of that hope. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that hope that we have is Christ within us. In Thessalonians we find God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So, that hope is given us through God's love and his his everlasting consolation. Titus speaks of hope of eternal life. So Hebrews 6, verse 11 is the verse where it speaks of having the full assurance of hope unto the end. Verses 18 and 19, lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. So, early on, my mind went to this verse, having hope as an anchor of the soul. But then when I looked it up, it is so much deeper than just, you know, having hope as an anchor of the soul. You know, it speaks of laying hold upon the hope, you know, taking that hope to us and not letting it go. You know, it's set before us. It's given to us. But can we grasp it and cling to it? And then realize that the anchor that it provides is sure and steadfast. We can trust that hope, the hope that is given us through God's love and his everlasting consolation. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he, speaking of our Father in heaven, is pure. So every man that hath the hope of Christ in him purifies himself, repents when he fails, even as he is pure, even as God is pure. I thought I would find more in in Psalms and Proverbs, but there weren't just a lot there that I thought kind of fit this theme. Proverbs, I have two. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. So deferred would be I didn't look that up. I meant to, just to reassure myself, but I think it would mean to be like postponed, or you know, put off to a later date, or maybe even just lost. So I think we can all imagine that to have that hope, that living hope, and to have it taken away, removed from us, would that not make the heart sick? I'm not sure that Solomon was thinking of this in that way when he said it, because if we go back to just a secular hope, you know, if that hope is not realized, we hope to get our hay baled before it rains, and before we get started, here comes a big rain, and I mean, there's lots and lots of incidents we could refer to, like, you know, I've heard of oats being shocked, and here comes a flood and washes the shocks down the river, and you know, that hope of a harvest being vanishing before our very eyes. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. I didn't write that in my notes, but I think it's worth going back to that. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. So if we think now of it spiritually, in a spiritual sense, the hope that we have in Christ, and we fall into sin and come to realize that this hope is gone, it makes the heart sick. Can we repent and restore that hope when we when the desire cometh, when that desire is restored now, it is a tree of life. It invigorates us, gives us a new lease on life, you might say. Then in Proverbs 14, there's one. The righteous hath hope in his death. We understand that. We also understand that the unrighteous has no hope in his death. So that's the end of my study, but I did find an article that I would like to share. It speaks of the same things, uses some different scriptures, is very well worded. It was put together, published by Our Daily Bread Ministries. And It starts with what hope is not. I think I'll just read through this for the most part. Far too often, hope is relegated to the level of wishful thinking, a positive approach, or mere optimism. We hear hope used in ways like, I sure hope the economy will turn around soon. Here's hoping that Brazil will win the World Cup. My doctor hopes that they will get all the cancer. These statements show concerns of someone's heart. While this kind of hope isn't wrong, it isn't the hope the Bible offers. I totally agree with that. The hope that we are most interested in is far deeper than just this. Hope that is reduced to the level of wishes and dreams can be like soap bubbles that look beautiful to the eye but disappear at the slightest touch. As King Solomon said, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Dreams tantalize us and appear to our heart's desire, but if there is nothing concrete about them, they guarantee our disappointment and heartache. Hope must have genuine substance. It must have a firm foundation. So what is real hope? And so we've already answered that. Hope is Christ in us. Okay, so back to this article, what hope is. Even dictionary definitions show that hope should be more substantial than mere wishful thinking. One dictionary defines it as a desire accompanied by expectation of or belief in fulfillment. That confident expectation and trust in God's promise and future blessings. That is the hope that comes with having our life hidden in Christ. Hope can be an expectation and an anticipation that rests in what we believe. This means that for the child of God, hope can be as strong as what we have learned about God's goodness and faithfulness. Just as important, it can show the presence of the Spirit of God in our lives. This is the hope Paul holds out in his letter to the Romans. One of the Bible's most comprehensive statements on hope is Paul's crowning comment on the subject in Romans 15. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So here it speaks of abounding in hope, which growing, becoming stronger and stronger. This marvelous prayer reveals two significant reasons why hope is such a priority. First, God is the God of hope. Our joyful expectation isn't without foundation. Hope's foundation is not a theory or a philosophy, it is a person. Paul wants us to embrace hope as a reality rooted in God Himself, not as something we have to work up in our own strength. Second, Paul wants us to abound in hope. As God's children, we have been given His Spirit and the powerful hope that comes from Him. Hope should be a vital characteristic of the follower of Jesus, because God is the foundation of hope, and because He has given us His Spirit, that hope dwells within us. Genuine hope is one of the greatest distinguishing characteristics between believers and those who do not know Christ. Writing to the Christians at Ephesus, Paul reminded them what life was like before they received their salvation. these are now Paul's words, ye were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. The last phrase is crucial. They had no hope because they were without God in the world. Those who put their faith in God are the glad possessors of hope. That makes all the difference in how we live. Our challenge is to live in awareness of that hope. One scholar says that for those who don't know Jesus, hope is a verb. But for the Christian, hope is also a noun. It is something that we carry with us. This is an important distinction. Hope is not simply something we do with teeth gritted and fingers crossed. Hope, that joyful expectation, is something we have. We possess hope because we know the God. We possess hope because we know the God who is the source of and the reason for our hope. True hope is not the equivalent of whistling through graveyards, hoping everything will turn out. True hope is dynamic and powerful because it considers the circumstances of life realistically and then confidently rests in the promises and character of God. And I think that is I'm convinced and persuaded that that is key to experiencing peace, to confidently rest in the promises and the character of God. And that is where we find hope. That is where peace overtakes us and our flesh can be at rest. What real hope looks like. Why is there so much confusion about the true nature of hope? One reason is because hope, like faith and love, looks different in different situations. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, the Apostle Paul wrote, "But now faith, hope, love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love." These three great pillars of joyful living are all critical, but all three adapt appropriately to changing conditions. In times of abundance, faith can express trust in God by smiling with grateful humility. In times of loss, it will grieve, but not like people without hope, referencing 1 Thessalonians 4:13. As it works, faith can express itself through great effort and urgency. At rest, it can relax in the presence of the one who says, "Cease striving and know that I am God." Love, too, is adaptable. To seek the good of others, sometimes it must be gentle and patient. At other times, it must be firm, even tough. Likewise, hope can also flex to fit various situations because it relies on the goodness and faithfulness of God. It has many faces to respond fully to the different experiences of life. Paul noted that hope is courageous. Having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. He also said that hope is patient. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of God, of our God and Father. That is taken from Thessalonians 1, verses 2 and 3. So, hope is expectant. We are looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. The writer of Hebrews viewed hope as a source of stability. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. If we remember at the crucifixion, the veil was rent, and symbolically provided the privilege of addressing God directly rather than through the high priest, which Jesus is our high priest. I think that's what this is referring to. John the disciple added that true hope actually has a purifying effect. Everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Hope is remarkably versatile. With hope, followers of Christ can confidently engage the world. Genuine hope will strengthen us for the wide variety of challenges we face because we see those challenges through the lens of God's character. So, just this last little bit. With hope, followers of Christ can confidently engage the world. If we had no hope in Christ, could we speak to the world about Christ's love? Could we help them to see the truth of God's word if we ourselves did not have hope? I just don't think it would work that way. Genuine hope will strengthen us for a wide variety of challenges we face because we see those challenges through the lens of God's character. So may we go forth in that hope and with God's love in our heart and just allow him to lead us, guide us, direct us, and serve in his kingdom as he leads us. So that's all I have. I'll open for testimony or any thoughts you would like to share.